Have you ever done any baking with a small child? Jonathan's down there with them today. It bears almost no resemblance to skilled adult baking. As adults, we measure ingredients accurately, mix batter efficiently, and pour it into the pan effectively, ensuring predictable results. Baking with a child, however, is a completely different experience. Measurements are rough at best. Mixing is a very enthusiastic and oftentimes explosive endeavor. And frequently it seems that more batter gets on the counter than into the pan. The end results, the passing on of skills and the actual baked goods themselves, are of course secondary. Bonding with the child is much more valuable than the muffins. We look forward to doing it again and again, and maybe next time we will remember to use the bigger bowl. As a girl growing up in Nebraska in the 70s and early 80s, I was expected to acquire a certain amount of culinary skill. I have fond memories of cooking with both my mother and my grandmother. I would drag the kitchen chair across the linoleum and climb up to the counter to help. I use the word help generously. However, at some point fairly early in my childhood, cooking went from play to chore. I began to learn that there was a right way to cook and bake, that making a mess was irresponsible. I was taught that my father worked very hard to earn the money for that food, and we don't waste it. I was inducted into the culture of scarcity. And this was perfectly understandable. My grandmother, my father's mother, had come of age during the Great Depression. My mother was one of five children in a military family, moving from base to base, living with food stamps. They knew what it meant to experience lack. It was a point of pride that there was now enough for us, but the message was clear. If we do not do things the right way, if we aren't very careful to be frugal, we will again find that there is not enough. Not enough. I took that in. I worked very hard to learn the right answers in school. I jumped through the hoops set by the gatekeepers of the opportunities for education and advancement. If I did not have enough, it will be because I did not do all the things well enough. I began to identify with my achievements, deciding my worth based on my efforts, and constantly striving for perfection. How exhausting. How isolating. With my focus completely on myself, I did not have anything to give to anyone else. How could I be generous if I didn't have enough, if I was not enough? As Unitarian Universalists, this is the crux of the matter. Our first principle states that we covenant to affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. We aren't big on the idea of sin, but if we were, perfectionism would be a sin against the first principle. Perfectionism is a failure to see that we are worthy of belonging and acceptance just because we are. We have dignity in being, not doing. And it is certainly not contingent on doing things perfectly. We covenant to love each other into believing in our own perfectly imperfect worthiness. And then we stumble imperfectly out into the world together to love it into wholeness as well. And it is a transactional world. where many don't have what they need to flourish. The idea that we can control having enough to live perfectly is a lie. And it is a lie that reinforces systems of privilege and social and economic inequality. It allows us to blame those who are struggling for the situation in which they find themselves. And it often leads us to make help contingent on compliance with a standard of right behavior. We cannot cultivate generosity when we are convinced that there is not enough for everyone, and that we each desperately need to hoard what we have. Scarcity doesn't just limit our own lives and experience, it also limits the potential of the community. Our fear of inadequacy or lack leads us to hold back, to fail to give or to act, and then we also rob the community of our contribution. If we feel we have to serve imperfectly, do things perfectly, then often we don't take risks. We don't serve as much as we can. We don't give as much as we can so that we can continue to feel safe and in control and enough. Now, you could be forgiven for believing that this is just the way things work. In our current economy, it can be extremely challenging to get even an interview for a job if we are deemed unqualified. And even when we get a job that we are, at least in theory, qualified for, we are subjugated to regular performance reviews, and dismissal is a real possibility if we don't live up to expectations. Many Americans find themselves asked to work extended hours for inadequate pay. The idea that we need to be at least nearly perfect to have our needs met, let alone be successful, is reinforced again and again and again. Thank goodness, then, that a church is not a business. We are here by choice, after all, and this place runs on volunteers. Yes, there are bills to pay and tasks that must be done, but we are not producing a product that can be commodified. Every time that we gather, whether for Sunday worship or to landscape or to study ethics or to craft our budget, our primary purpose is to connect to one another, to build our beloved community. Like that sloppy childhood baking, it doesn't have to be done perfectly. We can cultivate a spirit of giving, of sharing our time and energy. We can give of our treasure for the common good as a collection of hearts bound to one another in love. So how do we grow this sense of generosity, this belief that there is enough, that we are enough to share with one another? There are many ways, but I suggest gratitude, trust, and action. Gratitude is the antidote to the scarcity mindset. We can be grateful that we have found a community of like-hearted individuals. We can be grateful that we have this time together. We can be grateful that we magnify each other's efforts for justice. We can be grateful that this village helps us raise our children. Trust in those shared efforts of this community can help us let go of our need for control. We can live into our belief in the democratic process by trusting in our elected leadership to use our resources wisely. Trusting that our contributions can be shared for the common good is radically countercultural, and it is foundational to our tradition. Thinking through these ideas is, of course, of no value without action. we act ourselves into new ways of being. Choosing to serve imperfectly, choosing to give without strings attached, taking the actions of generosity is what makes us generous people. When we give out of gratitude and trust, we discover that there is enough. In fact, there is more than we need here. There is enough for us as a community to share with the world. In his book, Serving with Grace, Eric Walker Wickstrom suggests that we see all our church groups, including boards and teams, as covenant groups who choose to do service work together. When we serve on a board or a team, that chalice lighting and check-in at the start of the meeting are just as important as the other items on the agenda. Deepening our connections with one another creates spiritual intimacy. How can we not be grateful for these relationships? How can we not trust those with whom we work for our common vision? Time and energy invested in our community yields love and connection and even more to be grateful for. A spiral of abundance that destroys the scarcity mindset. Here at North Shore Unitarian Church, we are grounded in love, guided by reason, committed to spiritual growth, and striving for justice. Perfection was not on that list. Scarcity was not on that list. We come together for the very purpose of exploring our shared humanity. And we do so by sharing our inner lives as well as our efforts. It is in connecting and acting as one that we experience the transcendent, a glimpse of the potential of humanity to create a just and sustainable and compassionate future. One where everyone truly has enough. We come together as imperfect beings, for here you need not hide, nor pretend, nor be anything other than who you are and who you are called to be. These are not just empty words. Many acts of service here are done in this place really, really well. So when we consider how we could serve, it's easy to find the demon of perfectionism once again infecting our minds. Oh, I could never do it well enough, do it as well as. Oh, I would love to try that or learn to do that, but insert your own assessment of your personal inadequacies here. It's important to remember that no one was born with the skills they use to serve the congregation. Everyone had to be a beginner at some point. Each person was once the child haphazardly dumping ingredients into the bowl. Many of the folks you see serving so well do so because they've been doing it for a very long time. And they could always use more help. I ask you then, what would you be willing to do or learn to do to serve our community? Are you willing to take the leap from I could never to I will try if you will guide me? Are you willing to set aside perfectionism and allow your best to be good enough today? I ask you also, are we as a beloved community willing to accept and support service given imperfectly? I trust that the answer is yes. And that all service will be received with love and gratitude. As we move toward our heart and hand auction gala, let us commit to giving generously to this place that is sacred to so many. You can give of your time, your energy. You can offer events and showcase your passions and interests. Your financial contributions will be vital to the common good of our beloved community. And your presence, just as you are, will deepen our relationships, giving us even more to be grateful for. Our work together will be imperfect. Like baking with toddlers, it will be messy. But the congregation acts as the bigger bowl. And by giving generously to one another, we can create something truly nourishing, something that is more than enough. May it be so, and blessed be.